Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text upon which we base the meditation is the gospel we read before. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the events of our text take place just after Jesus has finished preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And so Jesus has now come down from the mountain, coming back to the city of Capernaum. As he's getting close to the city of Capernaum, he's met by a delegation coming to him from the centurion there. Now, the city of Capernaum was not very far from where the Sermon on the Mount was preached. In fact, depending on whereabouts on the mountain Jesus did the preaching, he may have been able to overlook the city of Capernaum the whole time. At least the place that they show you as the traditional place where Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, you can see the ruins of the city of Capernaum down below next to the Sea of Galilee. And so it was not that far away. But the centurion sends this word to Jesus that he should come and heal his servant. That kind of strikes us as being somewhat unusual, for a number of reasons. First of all, Roman soldiers were not noted for their faithfulness and their religious concerns or interests. Roman soldiers also weren't noted for their very high regard of life. In fact, they didn't hold life in a very high regard at all, and certainly not the life of a servant was held in respect or honor. And so the Jews also tended to hate them. And the mutual feeling between them. But then, there's always exceptions. And this centurion was an exception. He's religious. He's concerned about the life of his servant. A servant. He also seems to have been very interested in the Jewish religion and the Jewish faith. They tell him, Jesus, that he, to a large extent, financed the building of their synagogue there in Capernaum. Now, if you go to Capernaum today, you can see the ruins of a synagogue. The ruins of a synagogue, the one that's there, is quite magnificent. But they tell us that that dates from about 300 A.D., a couple hundred years after Jesus was there. But it's built on top of a previous synagogue. And the previous synagogue is most likely the one that Jesus worshiped in and that this centurion helped to build with his support. Now this Roman, not a Jew, has faith in the triune God. He has faith, he knows that God can answer his prayers. He believes that Jesus is a servant of God, a prophet of God. And that's rather remarkable for a Gentile, and especially very remarkable very early in Jesus' ministry, because this is in the first year of his ministry. Many of the Jews did not really believe that Jesus was a prophet from God at this point. Many of them certainly did not accept him as the Messiah, as the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And yet here's this Gentile, a Roman soldier, who has that faith and that confident trust in God. And it's an amazing faith, Jesus says. A faith that's come about despite all the obstacles and in a way. The general hatred of the Jews for the Romans and the Gentiles. The general separation between the two peoples. There was lack of communication between them. Certainly he was not welcome in the synagogue that he helped to build. He was allowed to come to the door and listen to the services from outside the synagogue. There was a general lack of evangelism. The Jews made no real effort to try to bring in Gentiles into their faith and into their worship. And so all these obstacles are there. And yet this centurion came to faith and trust in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, as God's prophet, as God's spokesman. And the centurion doesn't go to Jesus directly, but he sends a delegation, the religious leaders of Capernaum. And they do a very good job of convincing Jesus that he should come. telling him all the generosity and the kindness of the centurion, what he has done. And so Jesus goes with them. He goes with them. But then as he gets close, the centurion sends another messenger. This messenger, he says, don't come. Don't come to my house. There's no need for you to come to my house to heal my servant. You are a man of authority, just like I am a man of authority. And as a centurion, I can say to this one, go, and he goes, and to this man, come, and he comes. And so he says, Jesus, you have the power to do the same thing. You have the same authority. You simply have to say the word, and my servant will be healed. Say the word, and your angels will come and heal him. You don't need to come and say a prayer over him. You don't need to come and put your hands on him. You do not need to have any rite or ritual over him. You simply need to say the word, and God will heal him. Look at that amazing faith in that Gentile. Look at Jesus' answer to his prayer. He states that he's amazed at this man's faith. He says, not even the Jews, not even those who he's been preaching to and teaching to, not even his disciples have that kind of faith at this point in time. A faith that will simply trust that spoken word. Faith that trusts the promise of God without having to see it and having to touch it. Here's a man that Jesus said to Jesus, say the word and your angels will carry out the command. Just the word is all he wants. Look at Thomas, the disciple Thomas. He's with Jesus at this time. He is with be with him for 2 more years and hear Jesus preach and teach. But then Jesus is crucified. And who is the one that says, I have to see with my own eyes the nail prints in his hands. I have to touch his side. It's Thomas. After 3 years of working with Jesus and hearing him preach and teach, Thomas must see and touch with his own eyes. But this centurion, a Gentile, has reached faith without that 2 years prior to that time. It's an amazing faith. But what about our faith? Where's our faith? What does it show? Do we have a faith like the centurion, or do we have to see? Do we have a faith to believe that there is such a thing that we've never seen before and that we'll never see again, like we did with the children this morning? Or do we have all kinds of doubts in that way? When we pray, when we say our prayers, do we expect an answer to those prayers? Do we really expect God to hear and to answer that prayer that we pray? Or sort of is our prayer sort of just an exercise in words, an excuse to talk to God, but we really don't expect God to answer? And sometimes I think that is probably the case with many of us. Jesus says we need to have faith like the grain of a seed of mustard seed. And if we have that kind of faith, we can move mountains. He tells his disciples that you can tell this tree over here to be uprooted and planted over here. But what do? I didn't duck. If we really have faith, we should duck. We got to get out of the way. If we believe that tree is going to be uprooted over there and planted over here, I got to move. I'm in the way. But when we don't move, it shows that we really don't expect God to do what we prayed for. We're praying in unbelief. We need to have sort of a faith that if sort of say like a little child might have. Let's say this little child, and his parents put him to bed at night, and the child prays. And then he says, God, give me a puppy. Okay? And he goes to sleep. But the next morning when he gets up, he runs out to the garage, and he looks for the puppy. And then he thinks to himself, well, I don't have a house for that puppy yet. So he finds a bunch of old boards around the house and in the garage. And he gathers them together and he convinces his dad to help him build a doghouse. And he keeps on praying while he's building this doghouse. He's making preparation for God to answer that prayer. Now, how long do you think it be before he has a puppy? Most likely not that long. Because he's prayed and he's making preparation to receive the answer to his prayer. Because he's confident that God will hear and answer that prayer. And that's what Jesus says we need to do. That's the faith that the centurion had here. He had faith that by praying, God would hear and answer that, and he was making preparations to receive that answer. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to pray with that same amazing faith. He wants us to pray. But when we pray and we don't make preparation for the answer, we've already got our answer. The answer is no. God's not going to give it to us because he can see that we really don't want it. Because if we really wanted it and felt it was something that we needed, we would make preparations to receive his answer. And so God, we pray, would strengthen our faith. Encourage us to pray faithfully, but pray with confidence, knowing that God can both hear and answer that prayer. And so make those preparations. Prepare to receive God's answer. When we pray for the faith of others, when we pray that we would be a better witness, then God says, study the word, and then go and speak to your neighbors. Be that witness. Don't wait for them to come to you. And God will fill us with the words that we need to say at that time. And may God grant us such an amazing faith as the centurion had. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. As we gather our offerings this morning, we will be singing the next hymn.